And God, this is our prayer. We wait. We wait ready for you, like a bride waiting for her groom. Holy Spirit, come. Come and breathe upon us the breath that we need. The breath of your love, your grace, your peace. Make our hearts ready to hear the word that you have for each of us today, Lord Jesus. Come. Come and dwell with us in this time together. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, on this day of Pentecost, as we celebrate confirmation, we're reading from the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're beginning at verse 14. Hear the word of God from Romans chapter 8. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, if we really suffer with him, so that we can also be glorified with him. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. So this morning I'm beginning my message with a little bit of family history, and I didn't realize it, but at the 8:15 service this morning, my parents showed up unannounced, and there I was talking about my dad, but it was all good, and it's a joy to welcome Harold, my cousin, who came this morning, and we're so glad that you're here with us today, and you'll be familiar with some of what I'm going to say also today. But a few weeks ago, Betsy and I were at my parents' house in Carlisle. We were helping them get ready to move into a smaller place at a retirement community over in Carlisle. And I was in the garage with my dad, and we were sorting through stuff. We were deciding what to move. We were deciding what we might sell, and also what we might get rid of. And while we were in the garage, tucked away in a corner behind a cabinet, I found this piece of family history, and there's sort of a close-up of it in the teaching notes this morning. So years ago, when we were getting ready for sale at my grandparents' house in Carlisle, the house that had been in our family for 74 years, we found this sign up in the attic. And this is from the Gospel Mission, where my grandparents and their whole family attended when my dad was growing up. Now, the Gospel Mission was located in a storefront just a few blocks from my grandparents' house in Carlisle. And the first thing I noticed when I looked at this sign was the time of the services. They had Sunday school at 9:45, and then they had preaching on Sundays at 11 a.m., so we're just on time this morning, and also at 7 o'clock p.m., and then also every Tuesday and every Thursday night at 7:30. And so looking at this, I asked my dad, which service did your family attend at the Gospel Mission? And he said, well, we attended all of them. Do you mean when you were growing up, you went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Tuesday night, every Thursday night, every week, he said. And not only that, But on Sunday afternoons and Wednesday nights, the family would go to the Holiness Christian Church over in Mount Holly Springs because the preacher there was a friend of my grandparents. And in the summer, the whole family would pack up and go to camp meeting for a week. And they would sleep in tents, and they would use outhouses because there was no indoor plumbing. And every night they would have church in this outdoor tabernacle. And they were holiness people. They were singing, they were clapping, they were hand waving, they were shouting, they were dancing, they were crying. The preaching was loud and invitational, spirit-filled church. When my dad was growing up, I realized he was in church all the time. And so were his five sisters and his brother and some grandchildren that were with them. Why did Grandma and Pappy Keller take the family to church so much? Well, maybe they went to church so much because they didn't have anything better to do. I mean, back then, there really was not much else to do. They didn't have television, no computers. They didn't believe in going to the movies. There were no marching bands, no sports teams that were organized for their kids. There were no shopping centers. And Grandma and Pappy never even drove a car. Never even went on vacation much, except when one of their kids would take them someplace. My grandparents were so drawn to church, but they didn't go to church just because it was something to do. And they didn't go to church just because of the social life there. They were in church for the same reason that many of us are here today. They were there because they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. As young adults, they turned over their lives to Jesus, and it happened in such a dramatic way that they just fell in love with Jesus, and nothing was ever the same for them after that. They loved singing the songs of praise to Jesus. They loved hearing the good news of Jesus. They loved the fellowship of those who also loved Jesus. They wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted their children to know the love of Jesus, the love that had forever changed their lives. That's the thing they wanted most of all for their kids as well. The Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 8 describes those people for whom the love of Jesus is the first thing, the most important thing in life. The Apostle Paul refers to them as people who are led by the Spirit. And Paul says, first of all, that those who are led by the Spirit have a deep sense of belonging. Look again at verse 14. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. A deep sense of belonging. Belonging to God, belonging to each other. In the 1940s, when my dad's older brother went off to Germany during the Second World War, the women of that little gospel mission made a quilt for him, and in it is stitched the names of all the women who were part of making it. Every stitch, sewn in love, and with prayers that Buddy would come back home safely to them. That quilt is still in our family today, and it's a reminder of the deep sense of belonging that we have experienced as part of God's family. And I just praise God that every moment of my life, I have known that same sense of belonging. Brothers and sisters, I want to say this morning, that you belong to me. And I belong to you. Not because we're all the same, but because everyone who is led by the Spirit is bound together in love. N.T. Wright, the British theologian, pictures the church to be like a river. The river begins, he says, quite literally, all over the place. A tiny spring way up in the hills, a distant lake itself fed by streams, a melting glacier, all of them and a thousand more contribute to the babble and rush of water. Gradually, as one stream after another joins together, whole rivers form, and out of the many emerges this one mighty stream. Wright references the book of Revelation as he talks about this, where John the Apostle sees a huge throng of people from every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, people like you and me together in a great chorus of praise, like a river. We all started from different places, but we've been brought together in that one single flow. We belong together through the Holy Spirit. The church, he says, consists of people from the widest possible variety of backgrounds. And I look around at this congregation and I think, what a great sense of humor God has to bring people like us from so many different places together in one mighty stream. Nicky Gumbel, who developed the Alpha program at his church in London, a program that's now been used in thousands of churches around the world, wrote these words that are printed in your notes about the church. Church is not an organization you join. It's a family where you belong. It's a home where you are loved. It's a hospital where you are healed. Those who are led by the Spirit, Paul says, first of all, have a deep sense of belonging. And then secondly, Paul says, those who are led by the Spirit have a heartfelt need. They understand their need for a Savior. Look at verse 15. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you you are adopted as his children. With this spirit, capital S, we cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, when I think about the times in which my grandparents lived, I realize that they had some very difficult experiences. As children, neither of them were able to go beyond the sixth grade. They were younger than those who will be confirmed today because they had to go to work. And as children and youth, they worked long hours in factories in Carlisle. And then as a young couple, the Great Depression came and they had a house full of kids and they struggled just to make ends meet. Then they saw their son go off to war, one of their five daughters seriously injured in a car accident in which her fiancé, with whom she so often sang in church, was killed. And then they lost a grandson at age 10 with a heart condition. So much heartache. Heartache not unlike some of the heartache in your family as well. Heartache that Paul says could enslave us, could cause us to lead lives of fear. What's going to happen next? But those who are led by the Spirit, he says, know that they are not alone in times of trouble. They belong to God. Paul declares that we cry, Abba, Father, because we are daughters and sons of God. Some years ago, the spiritual writer Henry Nouwen wrote a book that was inspired by this famous painting by Rembrandt called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It powerfully conveys that scene that most of us are familiar with in Luke 15, where the younger son has gone off and squandered his inheritance on reckless living. And when he's lost everything, you remember, he was forced to feed the pigs. And in his desperation, he came to himself and decided to return home because at least there he might get something to eat. So all the way home, this younger son is thinking about, what's Dad going to say when I get home? At worst, he fears the father will refuse to see him and send him away. At best, maybe the father would allow him to become one of the hired hands. But as Rembrandt powerfully renders this scene, the father joyfully welcomes his younger son home. And as Henry Nouwen meditates on this painting, as he visited it in a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, he finds himself focusing on the father's hands. Notice the tender way in which the father touches the shoulders of the young son and holds him close to his heart. In the same way, Nouwen says, when we cry, Abba, Father, the Father touches us and holds us close too. A sense of belonging, a heartfelt need for what God can do for us. The Spirit leads us into community because there, no matter what life brings, we can experience the Father's touch among our brothers and sisters. And Paul says, thirdly, that those who are led by the Spirit have a passion for passing on their inheritance. Paul says in verse 17, if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ if we really suffer with him so that we can also be glorified with him. Now, I was pretty young when my grandparents went to be with the Lord, my dad being the youngest of seven in the family. But this I remember, how passionate my grandparents were about passing along the love of Jesus to those who were coming after them. I picture these seven children walking all those times from their house to the church, and what a witness it was in that community to see the Keller family heading in that direction. And having had two daughters myself, I don't know how they ever got five girls ready for church and there on time. They wanted their children and grandchildren to experience that same sense of belonging, that same heartfelt need for Jesus that they had experienced. They wanted all of us to know who we really are, that we are above everything else, children of God. Like the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thinking about our confirmation class thinking about Vacation Bible School, thinking about our ministries with children and young people and adult discipleship too, I'm reminded of the great calling that God has given to all of us to pass on what we have inherited to those who come after us. One day, a 5-year-old boy was walking to his grandmother's house after attending Sunday school, and his lesson for the day had been Jesus' parable of the Last Judgment, and he just couldn't get out of his head the teacher's comment, "When you give something to another person," she had said, "you're really giving it to Jesus." Well, walking through the park, he noticed an elderly woman sitting on a bench, and she was feeding some pigeons, and she looked very lonely. And so he went over to her, and he sat down, and he pulled out of his pocket a packet of M&Ms, and he gave this woman a few of his M&Ms, and she smiled. And the boy liked her smile so much that after she'd eaten those M&Ms, he gave her more. And this time, they exchanged smiles. And for a while, they just sat together in silence, just smiling at each other. Finally, the boy got up to leave, and as he began to walk away, he turned and ran back to the bench and gave this lonely woman a big hug. And she gave her very biggest smile back. When he arrived at his grandmother's house, she saw that he was still smiling, and she asked, "What made you so happy?" And he said, "Well, I shared my M&Ms with Jesus, and she gave me a great big smile." Meanwhile, the woman on the bench returned to her little apartment where she lived with her sister. "You're all smiles," her sister said, and she said, "Well, I was sitting in the park eating M&Ms with Jesus. And you know, he looks a lot younger than I expected." Oh, that all of us could see the people that God brings into our lives as if we are seeing the face of Jesus. Oh, that we could follow the example of our Christian ancestors, that Jesus would be first in our lives, that our love of Jesus would just give us a deep sense of belonging, that we would know our need for God, to know that God sees ahead of us and provides everything, even in the most difficult days, and that we, like them, would have such a passion for passing along our inheritance to others. I'm going to ask that our worship team would come back and prepare to lead us in our next song. And as they do, will you join with me in a moment of prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Help us to realize how deep your love for us is. Lord, we come from many different places and many different circumstances, and we're grateful. We're grateful that you come to meet us where we are. Lord, we bring to you our need. And we pray today that as we join together in this next song, that you would so stir in our hearts through your Spirit that we might respond to your love. Lord, perhaps there's someone in this place today who is searching, longing for something more than this life has given them. Let this be the moment, Lord, when they see you as never before and respond to your great love in Jesus Christ. Jesus, we love you. And we're grateful that because of you, as we follow the lead of your Spirit, you claim us as your daughters, your sons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.